And welcome back to the program. In our final hour, we will open up the phone lines and take your questions, your calls, your stories as we talk about the environment, the ground. Kiss the Ground is the name of the book. Josh Tickell, we'll be back with him and your calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to our final hour. Josh Tickell with us. His work is called Kiss the Ground. Josh, if you could wave that magic wand and solve one ill here, what would that be?
Well, I really think, George, the big thing that the big opportunity that awaits us is reversing desertification, turning the deserts of the world back into lush, producing ecosystems that actually create food, fiber, feed, all of the things we need to survive.
Which they once were a long time ago.
It's true. It's true. We've really, you know, I like to say we've reversed terraformed our planet, and now it's time to terraform it back.
What do you think happened to the deserts to make them go as dry as they have been?
Well, look, some of the deserts are natural phenomena. We know that, you know, when these ice sheets retreated thousands and thousands of years ago, not all parts of the planet were going to be these wonderful ecosystems. But about two-thirds of the planet right now is desertifying, is turning into desert because of humans' activities. So if we look at that primary land mass, and again, you know, land only covers 25% of the planet, 75% water approximately. So we've got a very small sliver that we're existing on here, and two-thirds of that is going away way faster than it should be, because we are literally beating up the land by overgrazing, overtilling, overspraying our chemicals, and not building the soil.
Interesting take. Since you've been doing this, and how many years have you been at this now?
I like to say that Kiss the Ground, the book, is a 10-year project. I really started working on this 10 years ago.
What's been the reaction?
The reaction has, when people get it, it's like taking the red pill. It's like seeing, for the first time, the matrix that we live inside. Oh my gosh, this is how food is produced. This is why we lost 25 civilizations before our civilization. This is what's really going on in the world. This is the big deal. The reaction is shock and awe.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Joe in the Bronx to get things started. Joseph, go ahead.
Hey, George, how are you?
Good, Joe.
Good. Yeah, you know, Josh, whatever happened to alternating crops, which is supposed to be very healthy for farmland, and why can't we, our government, subsidize regular citizens who have the land to grow organic crops? Let's move toward organic. I mean, we should have wildflowers instead of wildfires out in California.
I like you, Joe. I think you and I would get along really good. I like that. I think we've gotten into the mentality that food should be produced in the same way that a car is produced. We extract the stuff out of the earth, we pump it through a production line, out the other end comes something that we consume and then throw away. That's not how Mother Nature works. We have tried to make Mother Nature work like we want it to work, and instead, it's rebelling. I think that the government absolutely should get involved in helping to diversify. And this is about resilience. This is about diversification. You wouldn't put all your investment in one thing. Instead, you put your investment over a portfolio. Why do we put all our investment in one crop? I'm not a big fan of subsidies. I'm not a big fan of government handouts. I believe farming can be a net $100 billion positive industry for the United States. It can put farming back on the map, it can put towns back to work, and it can reinvigorate what was once the dream life of America.
If you could grow one crop, which would it be?
Oh, you know, I am a big fan of grass. And
really?
I wouldn't take that. You know, some people are going to take that the Willie Nelson way.
The weed way.
Right? That's not what I mean. I'm a big fan of the perennial grasses that once existed across the majority of the United States. These grasses stand about 6 feet tall. their root systems go down sometimes 10, 20 feet into the earth, pumping carbon down into the earth. You know, it's said when the settlers came through what is currently the Midwest, they could pick wildflowers from where they were on horseback. Imagine a sea of wildflowers 6 feet high that you traversed by a horse. Those perennial grasses created the beautiful soils that we eat from today.
Next up, let's go to Dennis in Kansas. Welcome to the show. Hi, Dennis.
Hello, George and Josh. Good to talk to you.
You too, Denny.
I'm a farmer over here in Kansas. Grew up on a Kansas farm in the 50s and 60s, and then I went to a land-grant university and became a food technologist. But I am pretty concerned about whether or not a lot of question about GMO bacterium that is used to make organic yogurt or cheeses. Do you suppose that's a GMO bacterium? I kind of think it probably is.
You know, that's a deep question. I think there's a lot of dirt that's coming out about how some of these supposedly really good foods are produced. Some of these companies have been skimping, they've been lying, they've been cheating, they've been double dealing. It's all coming out in the wash. You know, I think we need deeper investigation and we need better standards across the board, but organic particularly, because, you know, we're supposed to trust that label. We can't have that GMO stuff in our organic food.
What do you think of Whole Foods and the fact that they've been purchased by Amazon?
Are you asking me or the gentleman who's calling in?
You.
You know, I have mixed feelings about it. You know, on one level, this means that you can see the demand, okay? You can see that Americans want healthy food. You can see that playing into the corporate sector. The corporate sector sees money in it. On the other hand, I question whether or not long-term the guys who are pulling these levers are going to be interested in maintaining our resources, i.e. our soil, our water, the health of our plants, or whether they're going to be pushing the money hose. I think it remains to be seen whether it's a good or bad thing.
Is our Department of Agriculture doing anything that should eliminate many of these problems you just have been mentioning?
George, this is the most bizarre government organization. The Department of Agriculture is literally like a schizophrenic patient. Okay? On one hand, you know, you've got this department that directly plays into these huge mega companies, the biotech companies, the chemical ag companies, the, you know, the modern industrial agriculture complex. They really write the laws that facilitate the sale of this toxic stuff that we end up eating, okay? So on one hand, yuck, right? On the other hand, you've got this excellent division of the USDA. It's called the Natural Resources Conservation Service, NRCS. The NRCS was founded by FDR to safeguard the nation's soils from another dust bowl. So here are these thousands of men and women out there on the ground in every county of the United States of America trying to teach farmers to grow hedgerows, to not till the soil, to do all these important things that safeguard actually our economy and our country. And on the other hand, the rest of the USDA is just destroying all those things. So again, schizophrenic patient right there.
Next up, we go to Mark in Dallas. Welcome to the show, Mark. Go ahead.
Yeah, George, I listen to you every night, and good listening to you. And
thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
I've heard a whole lot tonight, and let me say that, you know, I'm not a big fan of subsidies either, but, you know, there's a reason why our government, or one of the reasons why our government subsidizes the large farmers, because if they didn't, see, most of your listeners right now, they don't know that farming and ranching is the riskiest thing you can do in America. There's no guarantees your crops are going to be sold. There's no guarantee the price of your cattle going to be up. And if farmers were not subsidized, all they would risk would be the money that they could personally afford. And America's wheat and America's corn feeds the world. And if farmers only produced what they could afford, we would kill people all around the world because they wouldn't have enough to eat. They would starve to death. So I'm not a big a fan of 70s, but I don't know if we ought to make the farmer a bad guy on this show. I know thousands. I don't know thousands. There are thousands of families that don't take 1 cent of subsidies from the American government. Mine is one. We've been in ranching and farming for decades, and we haven't taken a penny from the government. And the idea is that, you get out there and you bust your butt. Most Americans wouldn't want to farm, wouldn't want to ranch. It's too hard to work. It's just too hard. So the idea that the farmer's getting away with something, I just don't see it. You don't see billionaire farmers just breaking out like you do in the tech world.
No, you don't do that. Josh, let's get your reaction to that. And thank you, Mark.
Yeah, Mark, I agree and disagree. First of all, I want to say that, the people of whom I have the greatest respect of any industry in the world are farmers. I have never met people who are more honest, hardworking, truly moral human beings.
And dedicated.
Dedicated, who care about the planet. I mean, an incredible overall, an incredible group of people. I think that farmers have been locked into a system in this country in which, let's look at some simple math, okay? Let's look at the debt to the farms that are going out of business ratio. Right now, over the past 20 years, farm debt is skyrocketing. Farms that are going out of business, skyrocketing, okay? So if the system was working, if the government subsidy soil-destroying chemical industrial agricultural complex was working for the common farmer, they would not be going into spiraling upward debt, and they would not be going out of business. The reason they're going out of business is because the crops that they are being encouraged to grow and the way they're being encouraged to grow them necessitates more inputs. More inputs, more money, more money, more loans, more debt. Eventually, they don't win, they go out. So that business model is broken, and it is driving, what's happening is it's driving the consolidation of farms. So we see more corporate farms, more large-scale farms. Guess what's going to happen? In the next 10 to 20 years, we're going to lose the vast majority of America's farms. Why? Because the average age of the farmer is 65 years old. We have 40 million acres that's going to be up for grabs. That's the size of the Louisiana Purchase. Who's going to grab that land? Right now, the number one people up for grabbing that land,
China,
are the biotech companies and China.
Yeah.
So do we want to offload the American farmscape to China and the biotech industry? I don't think so. I think we need to find a way to make it profitable. That's what I think.
We've got Wayne in Chicago. Hi, Wayne. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you, George, and thank you for your guest.
Sure thing.
Yes, I wonder if your guest aware that the governor of California was allowing, or maybe still doing it, allowing the fracking companies to put that poison gook that they use to inject into the ground, they're putting that into aquifers, pure aquifers. All the stuff he's saying is real good and is very good, but if we don't get rid of these politicians who are bought and paid for by these companies like Monsanto, how are the farmers going to survive if they have to use that Roundup? Because if they don't, it's coming from another land a mile away, and it'll still affect their crops. So if we don't get rid of the bought and paid for politicians, it's not going to work. And like Obama put in the Monsanto Protection Act, protecting Monsanto to keep poisoning the system. So what do you think, sir?
You have brought up, the number one issue
He's spot on, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Look, no matter what we do, whether it's alternative energy, healthcare, all of these things, farming, it's all the same. The wing nuts that are, quote-unquote, our elected officials in these departments are often beholden to the companies that paid for their campaigns. And we know how much it costs to buy a Senate seat and a congressional seat, and we know how much it costs to buy the presidency. So, I absolutely agree on one level. Absolutely. They are an impediment. The government is an impediment to regenerative, true regenerative agriculture, where we regenerate the soil, we regenerate the country. However, we cannot wait for them. I do not believe the government is going to lead. I believe the people will have to lead. I look to farmers like Gabe Brown in North Dakota. He farms 5,000 acres. That's twice the national average size of a farm. His average profit, I'm not talking about income, I'm talking net profit per acre per year is $100 an acre. If you're making $100 an acre on 5,000 acres, you're making decent money, okay? That's the number one problem. If we can do that, we can cut out the middleman and we can service consumers with healthy foods. That's what we want. We can begin to put pressure on those areas. Eventually, the government will follow. I don't think we can expect them to lead.
Let's go to Tom in the Bronx. Hi, Tom. Go ahead. Welcome to the program.
I'd like to say this, that when plants, land plants have salts that they pick up their root systems, osmosis takes place. I imagine vegetables that are growing, corn, other vegetables, beans, whatever. If you can get the root system developed to actually suck in ocean water and avoid the osmosis process, there's a possibility that you can use salt water, ocean water, to actually irrigate the plants. What do you think of that?
I love it. In fact, I'll give you one that I consider to maybe be even more exciting, and that is farmed 3D kelp forests. This is going to be the next food boom. Kiss the Ground, kisstheground.com is my book. I take you all the way through the land revolution that we're seeing. Farmers that are growing literally 2 to 10 times more food per acre. But you bring up a good point. What about salt water? Okay, there are now, this is the next chapter beyond the book. This is some stuff that you will get to know when you come to my website, Josh Tickell. You sign up for my newsletter. We've got cutting edge stuff that talks about the kelp forests that are being grown. We can sequester carbon dioxide. We can build kelp forests in the ocean using ocean water to create feed for cattle and food for people, vastly more than we can do on land, vastly more.
I had a 114-acre farm in Illinois back in 1993-94. I sold it. I should have kept it.
Mm. Good land out there.
Oh, my gosh. Fertile, black, everything. It was fantastic. Josh, would you give out the name of the book again and your website before the break?
Book is Kiss the Ground. Kiss the Ground book. .com. And if you sign up on the website, kisstheground.com, I will send you a free course that I teach.
Oh, cool.
On the regenerative diet. It will blow your mind.
Okay, we're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM with your final phone calls and comments as we talk with Josh Tickell about, what's been going on in the farming industry. And his points are very well taken. And welcome back. We are back with our final segment with Josh Tickell, and his latest book is called Kiss the Ground. We'll get to your calls as well. Josh, you're constantly working on something. What's your next project?
Well, I've got an exciting project coming about, believe it or not, the difference in generations and how the millennials, those annoying millennials who just can't put down their cell phones, just might save the world.
They just might, and they're coming of age, where they're buying goods and services. They're contributing now.
They are, and 50%, one in two people alive today are under the age of 35. That's more people than were alive in 1950. So if we can steer them in the right direction, they are a tremendous force.
My granddaughter, she is a millennial. She's right in that age bracket. And I've seen her grow from a baby to where she is now as a young adult. And you know what? If the millennials are like her, we're okay.
Okay. You know, that's good news.
Yep, it is. It is. We'll go to the calls in a second. They continue to line up for you. Just, I wanted to ask you, with everything that's been going on the planet right now, do you really see any politician or government leader or cabinet member who will be running to the forefront to get some of this done?
I think Justin Trudeau in Canada is, you know, one of the more progressive Western leaders. I'm pretty disappointed, honestly, in the global leadership. One of the things we do in the Kiss the Ground book, I got to go as an, I got to get a diplomatic badge and be in the French government during the terrorism crisis that they had during this COP21, this UN meeting about climate. The whole first chapter of the book describes what happened. But I was with this French Minister of Agriculture, Stéphane Le Foll, and Le Foll gets it. He understands what's happening planetarily in terms of food, hunger. He says, look, if we desertify Africa, we're going to have a billion refugees. You know, Syria was 27 million refugees. What about a billion refugees? Because they're not going to have food. So Le Foll put a program together to get rid of chemicals, to get rid of GMOs, and to incentivize countries to increase the carbon in their soils. The carbon is what gives them life. He presented at a COP. America didn't show. India didn't show. China didn't. They didn't even send like a secretary to the meeting. Okay. You know, and here's poor little France trying to get the world to fix its global soil problem and fix all of the rain issues that we're having, the fires that we're having, the droughts. All of this can be solved through the soil. And the biggest nations in the world didn't even bother to show up to the announcement.
Jeez. Stephen, truck driving in North Carolina. Thanks for calling, Stephen. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm George Dory. Hey, George.
Hey.
I've been listening about 2 years since I've been driving in the evenings. I just want to say I grew up in the 70s, and my parents were organic farmers, and we were basically poverty level, but we didn't know it because we all had food in the pantry and cow in the pasture. And what U.S. agriculture is doing to our soil and what Josh has said about the sterilization of the soil, it's basic elementary biology, what it takes to grow a plant. And I remember the grain embargo in the 70s on Russia, and at that time the United States could feed the world. And at this point in our progression of evolution, or whatever you want to call it, you know, we're importing food now that we can't grow because our soil's dead, our aquifers are drying up. And I just think it's good work what Josh is doing and what you're doing. And, the powers that be of this country and of the world, you know, they're killing the society. And people just need to think for themselves and stop depending on government as much as they are.
That is so true. Josh, you want to react to that?
You know, all I have to say is bless you and drive safe.
Well, and he keeps our country going. These truck drivers are doing everything they can to keep America going. Why do we use food, as great as this country is, and it's the best nation in the world, why do we use food as a weapon sometimes?
Well, you know, food is the ultimate weapon. You can take.
Yeah, but you end up hurting citizens of a country, regardless of government. The citizens are the ones who get the brunt of this.
It is. It is ultimately the common man. And this is the diabolic. You know, we talk about weapons of mass destruction and bioterrorism. We talk, you know, think about food. What would you give to ensure that you and your family have food in a crisis. This is the basic thing that we need.
I mean, I don't know what the sanctions are on Iran or on North Korea, and both of them have despicable governments. But if we're holding back food from the population, that's not right.
Well, think about the food that we hold back from our own population. We have, in the United States, the average American, 63% of our diet comes from a bag, box, carton, or a tube. That is garbage that has been grown mainly as cattle feed, soy and corn, and the refuse of that cattle feed has been turned into garbage that is being fed mostly to our kids. And all of that corn syrup, of course, goes into our food as well for our kids, creating diabetes. So I think we have a weaponized food system. If you go back to the beginning, how did we create, modern industrial agriculture, it's only a few decades old. It was developed as a result of World War II. Fritz Haber, the man who really commercialized synthetic nitrogen, he was the first to use chemical weapons. He developed something called Zyklon B. That was the gas used in the gas chamber to kill over a million Jews. That came over to the United States after the war, and guess what we used it for? Pesticides. We sprayed Zyklon B on our farm fields. After the war, Operation Paperclip, we brought tremendous German knowledge. All of those chemists who developed all of those chemical weapons came to the United States.
Project Paperclip.
And we combined them with our great American machines, and we birthed the greatest industrial food system the world has ever seen.
And without them, we never would have developed the rocketry program that got us to the moon.
That was part of that, exactly.
Next up, we go to Sean in Columbus, Ohio. Hello, Sean. Go ahead.
Hello. First of all, I'd like to say I've been a farmer all my life, and I take issue with some of the stuff that you've been saying, because it's been my experience that no-till techniques, which you seem to promote, have actually been a pretty bad thing overall. Since farmers have gotten away from using a plow, we have had increased issues with weeds and insects that has forced us to rely on chemicals.
Ah.
And now we've had another problem cropping up. See, no-till does not do as much to stop erosion as you seem to think. And up by Lake Erie, fertilizer is washing off the soil because it's not being plowed under. It's getting out into Lake Erie and causing algae blooms, which is killing fish. Now the U.S. Department of Agriculture is getting mad at the farmers because of this. My question is, how are we supposed to reconcile all this stuff?
All right, Josh, what do you say?
It's a great question. Well, my heart, just aches to hear that this is not worked for you and that you are experiencing this as a problem. The only way that no-till works is part of a greater system. It is the critical pieces of the system are no-till, cover crops between plantings, multi-species cover crops, not just alfalfa, not just grasses, 16 or more species between plantings, species designed for your local area. So no-till goes with cover crops, goes with managed grazing. If you don't have an animal come through and graze those cover crops and you don't plant directly into the cover, what you're going to have is you're going to have explosion of weeds. Of course, that's going to necessitate more chemicals, which is, of course, going to create more runoff, Lake Erie, et cetera, et cetera. So what we're talking about is not just one piece. It's not a silver bullet. It's a buckshot approach. And all of these things have to work in concert. It ain't easy. I am going to tell you that right now. If you have never done it, this is a paradigm-destroying system. But once you get the hang of it, your soil can be more fertile using this system.
We've got Kevin in Houston, Texas now. Kevin, take it away.
George, Josh, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome, Kev. Thank you.
Listen, God, there's so much history here. My grandfather, Lester Pfister, was actually the Howard Hughes of farming back in the 40s.
Really?
He and Brett had hybrid seed corn for over 40 years on a 10-acre plot, and it yielded the best seed corn the world has ever seen. And I remember Henry Ford in your area up in Detroit, George,
mm-hmm.
come down and wanted to know what this crazy man was doing with Model T engines. Well, he was inventing the corn pickers.
Yeah.
So this guy was a legend, but his dream was to solve world hunger. And some Purdue agricultural engineers explained this to me, that the seed corn can genetically be engineered to put those proteins that are necessary for the body to solve world hunger. And in 2009, my evil relatives, they sold his patents for over $80 billion to Dow Monsanto.
Wow.
And I'm trying to put a movie together about his life and leave something, because they've done everything but bury him without his story ever being told. And he had a sixth grade education and came from nothing.
What a great story.
Yeah.
That's another book for you there, Josh.
It is. It is another a story of American ingenuity.
It really is. And there's so much more, and it's a small world on this program. You'll get all kinds of calls. Truly a great story. Thank you, Kevin, for sharing that with us. I don't know if we're going to be able to get this solved. It just sounds like a dilemma of biblical proportions.
In one sense, it is. It is. How do we feed the world? We've got farmers calling in. They've tried some of these techniques. Some of them haven't worked. But here's the thing. The entire DNA of our farming system is crumbling. We are in a time of epic disruption. Whether you look at what's happening in the country with the hurricanes and the fires, this is a time of biblical disruption. So I think it's more important now than ever before to go, okay, look, all the cards are on the table. We're going to lose the majority of our farmers within the next 10 to 20 years. What do we want to create? Now is the moment to design something that is going to feed more people, keep people on the land, and ultimately put money back into the American economy. It doesn't seem realistic today, but the internet didn't seem realistic 25 years ago. Cell phones certainly didn't seem realistic before the 1980s. So are we talking about a revolution? That's what Kiss the Ground is all about. It is a revolution. And the reason I'm on your show, George, is I want everybody to sign up. I want everybody to be a soil hero, a soil warrior, to help save the world and solve this problem.
Monique's with us in Sunland, California. Go ahead, Monique.
Yeah, hi. This is the third day in a row that I'm on this show.
You're lucky. You're lucky.
I am. Okay, so hi, Josh and George. I just returned from a meeting with the Los Angeles Animal Commissioners and Animal Services, and the topic was whether there should be a study to see if the dogs in the LA City animal shelter should be fed a plant-based diet instead of a meat-based diet. So I'm really excited. The motion passed. They're going to study it for, I believe, 90 days, and then they are going to vote. Moby came to one of the meetings, and people are very serious about changing this. Did you know that they actually eat 336 pounds of meat per year, these dogs? So we would be saving a lot of animals and the environment at the same time. Oh, and one more thing. A lot of the shelter dogs actually eat deceased shelter dogs, so they might even be eating their own cousins and sisters and whatnot. So this is unprecedented, as far as I know.
That's pretty dramatic, Joshua.
It's like the Soylent Green of pet food. This is horrible.
That was a great movie too, by the way.
Yeah, that is just shocking. Wow, I don't even know how to respond to that.
Classic ending, to be sure. Josh, we're wrapping things up here. Again, you have another book out called Biodiesel America. That's still available?
I think you can still find it. A little dust on the cover there. It's a little bit old.
Yeah, it's an oldie but goodie, isn't it?
It is. Kiss the Ground is such a revelation in terms of overturning even stuff that I thought I knew 10 years ago. the soil will blow your mind. It will blow your mind, and it will literally, you know, it will give you reverence for the great creation that we all walk on, this great planet. You know?
Well, I'll look at soil a little differently now after talking to you.
We walk on it, you know, but our kids eat it, and the reason they eat it is the human body has more bacterial cells than we do human cells, and when we eat dirt, we acclimatize to the local biosphere.
You got it. Josh, thanks for being on the program. Appreciate it. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.